We're taking for a subject today the body of Christ is the mighty angel. The body of Christ is the mighty angel. Now, when we begin to talk about the mighty angel that comes in, there's different things that we want to look at today. And one of the things is this. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I want to talk about it as having its place in the Word of God in the early church, and then it was restored back in its full Pentecostal beauty in 1906. The Holy Ghost came back in that form, and the restoration began to take place. And people begin to speak with tongues and have the gifts of the Spirit and all those things. And each one more or less went their own way. And among the Pentecostal people that believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there are so many different groups and so many different takes on it and different beliefs about it. It's amazing how many different churches, like Pentecostal churches, and no use in me going over to name them because most of you know the name of a lot of the Pentecostal churches, but each one has a little different take on what the Holy Ghost is, or what the requirement is, and what we should do, and how we should be saved, and each one of them that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they'll eventually say, we're the body of Christ. And that's true to a point, but the Holy Ghost given to us to lead us into the body of Christ, see? Amen. And it not necessarily, it didn't necessarily lead us into a denomination. Now, the spirit of denomination and the spirit of Christ is two different things. A lot of people baptize into their denominational beliefs, see? Amen. And become part of a group. They can speak in tongues. And they have the gift of the Spirit. And they are, many of them, truly born again. And there's no question about that, whether they're born again. Of course, that's all in the hand of God. Who's born again and who isn't born again, we don't have anything to do with that, do we? Amen. And many people that is born again has different takes on the things of God as to which way. That's the reason we got so many Pentecostal groups. Amen. And among the followers of that Brother Brown's message, there's so many different groups, and each one of them has just a little different take on it. And there's so many that believe Brother Jackson. They have so many different takes on it. But when you open the pages of the Word of God and look into the Word, you don't find that. You find that there's one mind. And you'll find that the Word of God says that we should be of one mind and one judgment, that we all should speak the same thing. So that puts it in a different category than what we see out here in the religious world, even the Pentecostals. Amen. So it means there's another step to take. Amen. And that other step to take is recognizing the body of Christ, recognizing the message. Amen. Now, when you look, we look back down the road from where we come, we don't try to condemn any of the route we've taken or any of the beliefs that we had, because the Bible says that God once winked at our ignorance. He said, but now He commands us all men repent. I ministered on that over in Tahiti, Mozambique. And Brother Enoch was with, he was driving us and all, and he was so enthused about it, and he kept saying, but now. That's the way it was then, but now. It means that if Paul said, God once winked at your ignorance, but now He commanded us, it's required of us to go forward in His perfect will, see? Amen. So what happened back then? He winked at our ignorance. He was bringing us to a point, and He does not require us to receive something that He has not given yet. How many knows that? Amen. He don't condemn us if we haven't received something that He hadn't revealed. So we look at the Word of God, we find that Paul laid certain things in the Word that he said would be. Hallelujah. And one of the things he talks about, amen, is being baptized into the body of Christ. And he talked about being one. And that's some of the things I want to deal with this morning. And then there's the mighty angel come down and he brings a little book with him. And it was over in Zimbabwe where I preached the message on that receiving that which was previously unattainable. See? Amen. Some things was previously unattainable because we couldn't, and those things that were unattainable, we couldn't tell you to go get it, see? Amen. But once it's brought and made available, then we can receive that the Lord is given to bring us into what He said would be. And the thing He said would be a body that we would be baptized into, and that body would have one mind. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you which were also in Christ Jesus. And then He said, but ye have the mind of Christ. Now, if we look at the religious world today, then that would have no application whatsoever. Amen. If they said, we got the mind of Christ, then which group we would have to decide that has the mind of Christ? Because each one teach it a little different. Each one think a little different. And if you ask them how to come into the things of God, each one would point you in a little different direction. And the Bible says God once winked at our ignorance and He allowed that. Amen. But He said, but now. See, that'd be a good text to preach. Yeah. Alright, so I want to pray before reading, but I'm reading in 1 Corinthians 12 to start with. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to You, Lord, this morning, and Lord, as we've been looking over the Word of God and thinking on the Word of God, Lord, we just come to the place, Lord, where we begin to realize there's something laid down in the book of promise, and we have seen very few attain to it. But Lord, You have brought us to a place where everything is obtainable. Amen. And Lord, we just thank You that we are that generation, Lord, that has the mind of Christ. And Lord, the generation, Lord, that You've said would be translated, change in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. And Lord, the generation that You said would eat of the little book that has been reserved in heaven brought down. Father, I just pray now that You will help us to live a life in appreciative of what that You has given us. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I'm reading in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And I want to read 2 or 3 verses here. The whole chapter is good, but it would we would get so involved in it here we couldn't go on to other places. And one of the other places I want to get is the angel come down in Revelation 10. What is that? See, what is that angel come down? Is it the Holy Ghost? No, because they've had the Holy Ghost way before then. Amen. How many knows it? The Holy Ghost was here on the day of Pentecost. Amen. I received the Holy Ghost in the 50s. Amen. The real, genuine Holy Ghost. Might not have known what I received altogether. And I might not have known what to do with it, and so I just went with the different churches that believe different things. Amen. But as we begin to study the Word of God, and God brought us to where we're at now, amen, all of this was before the church ages was ever revealed to us, that there's seven church ages. All of this was before the seals were ever opened. All of this was before the thunders uttered. See, amen, and we did fine in the Lord. Thank God He led us step at a time. Amen. There's a message for 40 or 50 years. You go back and you'll hear the messages and so on. Amen. But now, see, I can't live on yesterday's manna. How many knows it? Amen. We're getting back where we're eating that old corn of the land, the same thing that Paul gave. Praise the Lord. So let me read here. 1 Corinthians 12, I want to read verse 12. For the first verse, it says, as the body is one, and that rules out practically all denominational systems. For as the body is one, and has many members, and all members are of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now I want you to notice that. This is Christ, he says. Paul said, you are the body of Christ. Well, that's getting on down. He said, for by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And then it goes ahead and tells about the whether you're bond or free. But I want to go over to verse 27 here. It says, for ye are, not you could be if you tried or something like that, or you it's a possibility to be. He said, ye are the body of Christ. Notice that. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And then it goes on to tell how God set the members in the church and so on like that. So we see we're not speaking of the baptism of the Holy Ghost here. That's what I want you to notice. Amen. We're speaking of being baptized, inducted into a fellowship that has one mind. And that's the mind of Christ. In the days of Paul, before the church fell away and went into the church ages, he spoke and he had a message, that apostolic office. He was right here in the person of Christ himself had incarnated himself in Paul to the extent that Paul says, that which is lacking of the suffering of Christ is made up in my body. That was that apostolic office, and from that went all the other word. And Paul told Timothy, Titus, and the different ones that ministered to the Gentile bride, he says, that I would that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you. Amen. But that you all have the same mind, same judgment. So that rules out people believing different things and being the body of Christ. Now, it does not rule out people being saved or born again and believing different things. Because there's many today, the Bible says, Revelation in chapter 7, those that come out of the great tribulation, said there'll be a number that no man can number. Amen. And it says they will have to wash their robes, not fine linen, but they'll wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. That'll be in the tribulation period, see. Amen. And, of course, there'll be the Jews that were killed under Hitler and Eichmann, those that gave their life for that word, even though they didn't know real truth about Jesus like we do. Amen. Yet they stood for the word, and God granted them salvation. All whose name were in the book will be saved, see. Amen. But that's not what I'm talking about. And there's the great Pentecostal churches of the day. We could go into Assemblies of God, Church of God, Congregational, and I could name them off here get a big list of them. But that would be all in vain, naming them all off, when the point is there's one message. There's one mind. There's one body to be baptized into. And there cannot be any difference in thoughts about it. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about the church. I'm not talking about somebody got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I'm talking about that's what baptized you into the body. It's the mind of Christ, see. And Paul spoke of in Ephesians chapter 5 there, that we become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. He said this is a great mystery. Amen. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. He said, but I'm speaking here of the Christ. Amen. Christ and His wife. Christ and the bride. I'm speaking of the church here, as it was called at that time. I'm speaking of the church here. He said, this is a great mystery. And that's what we're talking about today. And God typed it all out in the very first few chapters of the Bible. Amen. With Adam and Eve there. Amen. See, Eve was one time in Adam. Amen. God created them both in the Spirit. And when God got ready to talk about Adam and Eve, and it says He called their name Adam. You see what I mean? Amen. Therefore I say, we are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We take on that name. Hallelujah. And we're not just someone that's got a denominational name. No, there's many names, but there's only one. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved, see, except this name of Jesus Christ. How many will say amen? Amen. Then you say, can people be baptized using in the Trinity baptism and have the Holy Ghost? At one time, they sure could. And as how long God will permit and wink at their ignorance, I don't know. Because those that are of a Trinity belief, amen, they can't be the bride because they got to see Him and Him alone. Amen. The Bible says that you are dead and your life is hid with God, with Christ in God. Hallelujah. A lot of people got converted. Other people died. Amen. There's a big difference. You die out to yourself. Jesus in the fifth chapter of Romans, like as Christ died and was buried. Amen. Likewise, you did the same thing. And Paul said, I die daily. Hallelujah. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But yet, it's not I that's living, but it's Christ that's doing the living. He's just living through this body, see. Hallelujah. So, there's some people get converted. Other people die. What's getting converted? Well, converted, you change your way. You're converting this. I know a lot of people of the different religious brands. They're converted from one brand to another brand, and God probably don't care too much one way or the other what brand they got on, because they're playing the game pretty much anyway. Can you say amen? Praise God. But I'm talking about something entirely different. I'm talking about the body of Christ that you're baptized into that has only one mind, that has only one judgment, and all the preachers preach exactly the same thing, and there's no difference in the doctrine. Amen. Praise God. Then there's you're getting the wife, see. The wife has the mind of the husband, see. Hallelujah. And to be sure that we have the body to be baptized into, amen, Christ comes personally. Amen. With a body for us to be baptized into. Now, I'm not talking about saying the Holy Ghost. That's been since Pentecost. Over through time, people received the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, as it was known in the early church, got lost through the church ages. And was not gained back till in this last day. Now, salvation wasn't lost. Everybody that's born again, everybody whose name's on the book, they went into the ground. They had a message for their day. See, Christ came with that word through a messenger. A revelation that would go into it as the church failed. It said, the first church age failed. He said, you've fallen from your first love. And even in the day, just before God took Paul off the scene, Paul looked at it and said, there's men among you now that as soon as I'm gone, said, God's going to take me home. And as soon as I'm gone, what you see now will be no more. Amen, because there's men sitting among you right now that has a little different thoughts. See, they'll begin to draw disciples after themselves. Amen, so the Word of God says, the first church age that thou art fallen, and it fell away, but He said, I will restore in the last day. He started restoring by sending Elijah the prophet. Hallelujah, restoring the Word. And went around and around the world. He brought that knowledge back. He introduced the bride. And as we spoke the other week and made known, earlier years, say like in the 50s, 60s, coming through there, the word the bride of Christ weren't too prevalent among the people, say. But in the later years, we got hearing more about the bride, the bride, the bride, but not differentiating what the bride was, see. Hallelujah. And then, as the seals were opened and all, we find in Matthew's the 25th chapter that there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then the different virgins begin to rise and trim their lamps. But we find only part of them. See, they all had the Holy Ghost. They were virgins. They were pure. They were undefiled. But there was some that went in with Christ and the door was shut while others was out dabbling around hunting some oil. And that's what a lot of people are doing today. They're hunting this, hunting that. Amen. And they're going to keep right on hunting. And one of these days, we can say, while you were gone, we got married. Hallelujah. We become one with Christ. We become one with the Word. We got His mind. See, He only has one mind in this hour. And His mind is not divided at all. His mind is not confused. And He don't have Alzheimer's or whatever they say or something wrong in His mind. He thinks good and clear and precise. And there's a ministry today, amen, bringing that word exactly that stand in Christ's stead. As Paul did in his day, he says Christ ain't coming in, Jesus ain't coming in the sense of being a physical man here, but he said, I'm here in his stead. Amen. Amen. And he gave the word, and that word that he spoke would have been no different than the words that Jesus said had He have been here in person. Hallelujah. And now God has so revealed the Word of God to us, we realize and see. Amen. Now Romans, the 15th chapter, covers this very well. We see that when Jesus Christ came in a physical body, He was bound to the point that God has made a covenant with the Jews, Abraham and the fathers. Amen. He made a covenant to the circumcised. And the Bible says, Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 8, that Jesus Christ was the minister to the circumcision. But then you go and keep reading that chapter in the 16th verse of that. But Paul said, I am the minister of Jesus Christ to you Gentiles. Amen. Now, when you read in Paul's letters, you'll not find Paul quoting Jesus. You'll not find Paul quoting Peter or any of those. He said, I will only speak of those things which God has wrought by me. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul didn't have to quote Jesus, and the reason he didn't, it was Jesus in him doing the talking. Now, watch. Paul had quoted Jesus. One of the things Jesus said when a Gentile woman came, brought a little child up for Jesus to healed because Jesus was healing people. The lady brought the child up to Jesus, said, "Will you heal my, O thou son of David, have mercy upon me and heal my child," and so on like that. Well, Jesus, he just took a look at her and started the conversation, but he wound up, he said, "Woman, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Salvation is of the Jews." Wow. Now, why did Paul quote Jesus when he come to the Gentile? He was to be a light to the Gentile, delivering them from the power of Satan. Amen. See, so Paul didn't, it was Christ in Paul. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It was him using Paul's mind and using Paul's mouth. He was speaking to the church the same thing today. Hallelujah. It could not be another voice contrary to that. See, had to be that one mind, one voice, one doctrine. Amen. All believing the exact same thing. Now, Jesus said that speaking because he was to the Jewish people. And in Matthew's the 10th chapter, Jesus got all 12 of his disciples around. He gave them a commission and said, "Go preach," and so on like that. But what he said, "Go not in the ways of the Samaritans. Go not to the Gentiles." And I'm not reading this, so it's basically, he said, "But to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That left you Gentiles out there in the cold. When Paul began to preach and read to the Gentiles, there in the book of Ephesians, I believe, 2nd, 3rd chapter, he said, "You were lost, alienated from God, without hope in this world." Hallelujah. And that's the way we're born into this world. Amen. Lost, alienated from God, a stranger to the covenant. Amen. But here come a voice. Hallelujah. That was just one man had the voice to begin with. Amen. He was knocked down. He was going to the Damascus, persecuting those that would even call the name of Jesus. He didn't believe, just like the Jews today, many of them, if you say Jesus is the Messiah, they'll spit and curse and say, "He's not my Messiah. My Messiah come, he's coming on a great white stallion, put down all the enemies." Hallelujah. Well, he is coming just like they're looking for him. But they missed his first coming when he came as a little baby born in a manger. Amen. When he rode into Jerusalem, present himself as their king. He instead of riding a white charger with a trumpets blowing and all the bands playing. Amen. Here he come down on a little lowly donkey. Just dressed like a poor man. And them Jews, they become so angry that he would present himself, "This is the king of the Jews?" And actually, they got so upset one time, they said, "We have one king, that's Caesar." Well, that was their king. Amen, the same way he's coming in this hour. Amen, in a humble way. Amen, not a lot of trumpets blowing and all that. He comes to get his wife. Amen, coming as a thief in the night. Amen. He come up to the window and throw little pebbles against the window. Amen. To get her attention. She come over and they elope and become one. Amen. While the denomination are fussing about whether this right, whether that's right. Amen. He takes his wife and leave. He get the girl and is gone. See. Amen. In a rapture. Go into glory. Praise God. And everyone that go into rapture will believe the same thing. Amen. Those that are alive and remain, when God raises up those that have died back through there, amen, they'll blend and become part of it. They'll have white robes just like we have, don't matter what they went down with. Amen. Because they stayed true to the word that they knew in their time period. Amen. Can you say amen? Because when that wife goes up, she's dressed in fine linen, clean and white, and it don't say part of them's dressed that way, and another part dressed another way, and another part. No, everyone is dressed exactly the same. Amen. Because when they rise from the dead, there's going to be a people on the earth here. Amen. The body of Christ, the mighty angel. Hallelujah. Amen. And we've been baptized into that body. And when you look at the body, you'll say, there's Christ. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, he that have seen the Father has seen me. Hallelujah. He that have seen the church in all its glory, the one mind, one accord. Hallelujah. With the power of the Holy Ghost. He that have seen this has seen Christ. Amen. He said, it's Christ. You're the body of Christ. Don't look for another Christ. Amen. And this Christ has one mind. Amen. We'll get down to Revelation 10 in just a moment. Hallelujah. Now, coming through the ages, all them seven angels come. Then, when the seals opened, Christ came. And then all those seven stood right there with Him, with Christ. Here was Brother Brown. Amen. You get it in the picture in Arizona where the Lord came down, the seven angels there. Amen. But as it went up, it made up the face of Christ, see. Amen. He come back and opened the seven seals. Amen. Now here comes, here stands the mighty angel with the book in his hand. And that seventh seal said there was a silence for a half hour. That was for God to finish up what He had to do here, take Brother Brown home, send Brother Jackson with a revelation on the fifth seal, what's going to happen to Israel. And then a voice, and then God took him home in 2004. And now He's authorizing us to take the book. Amen. Which means the silence in heaven's over. It means that we've got the revelation of what happened to the Jews. We know about the fifth seal and all these things, the millennia things that has been, will be, and is. Hallelujah. But the important thing is there's a why that's going to believe one mind, one accord. I was listening at a tape that I preached. I believe Brother Larry took it home with him. 30 days, 30 dreadful days upon the earth. Amen. Sometime back. 30 dreadful days where God winded up in a 30-day judgment, the day of the Lord. Learned that tape that I telling about a call I got from Brother Jackson. He says, Brother Ben, I relaxed. I didn't recognize his voice. I was down in the basement there and the phone wasn't doing too good. And I said, yes, it is. I said, may I ask who I'm speaking with? He said, this is Brother Raymond Jackson, the Brother Junior Jackson. I said, oh yes, thank you so much for calling me. He said, I just want to tell you, this call is way overdue. Should have called and talked to you a long time back. Say, amen. It's 94, Bob said, 94. Amen. That's when the message. But the point being is, amen, he and I always, there was a little thing. See, God give him a certain thing like he gave Peter in the days of Bible. One thing to do, and he gave Paul another thing. Paul was to get a bride for Christ. If you'll read, that's what God told him to do. Amen. In Romans 11:13, Paul said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. Amen. Now, Peter was the apostle to the Jew. You get that in Galatians chapter 2. And this, God cleared all this up so that we could have one mind. And God set a roadblock there so that I couldn't work with Brother Jackson very closely. One of the things Brother Jackson taught is this. We got a five-fold ministry. And it's good. It'll be all right until we reach the perfect stature. And then God's going to send those seven thunders of Revelation 10, which will be seven men go around the world preach the gospel. Well, that was in his days, but now, see. Amen. Well, I spoke to Brother Jackson. I said, Brother Jackson, I can't see seven men coming in his church up there. He said, that's all right, Brother Ben. Let's go eat. All right, don't make a bit of difference. Let's go eat. So we went back into fellowship. But there was something I could never line up with that because of this fact. I would have to pretend that I believe that in order to sit on his platform and to walk shoulder to shoulder with him, when in my heart I did not. Because I knew that he said he would perfect the church with a fivefold ministry. Amen. I could see the difference in Peter and Paul's ministry in that early church. After Christ came, amen, Christ came as the Son of Man. He said in the last days, Luke 17th chapter, 17:30 there, he says in the last days when the world get like Sodom and Gomorrah and like Noah, and it's exactly that way today. No way you can get around that. Has been for the past few years, but more, it's getting worse and worse. He said when it gets that way, said, I'm going to reveal again the Son of Man. Point being is, he were able to tell people things where we've had that repeated in our day. Then immediately following that, here come a man named Raymond Jackson. And he can't preach very much without getting on the Jews. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to what the trumpets are, what the vials are, and that last part of the seal, and go back into prehistorical age and take it, and then go all the way out in the future and the millennium and all that. Amen. But Paul's message was different from that. Paul was sent to get a wife. Hallelujah. Paul was sent to get a bride. That is 2 Corinthians 11:2-3. Paul said, I have espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now the Jews, you'll never hear them being part of the church called the bride. They're the brethren. They're the brethren of Christ. But what I'm getting at, we saw that. That was then, but this is now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians 4. I won't just read something there about the perfect stature of the man in Christ. I want to show you that it's not two. You can't have two. It has to be, you can't have two minds. You can't have two bodies. You can't have two groups. I'm not saying there can't be two churches that believe the same thing, but I'm talking about churches of a different belief. Amen. Within the hour's time, from where I'm standing right now, getting my vehicle, and go to the different churches, Pentecostals, talk in tongues, believe in the Holy Ghost, and ask them about some of these, every one of them would be different. Amen. Now, he said, have one mind. Amen. Let this mind which were in Christ be in you. He said, by one Spirit you're baptized into one body. You're the bride. You're the wife. Amen. Now, why should we read here in Ephesians 4? We just quoted that in Ephesians 5 about him being, it'll eventually get to one where you become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. Alright. Praise the Lord. That mighty angel, what is that? What is that? Amen. That's the Spirit of Christ. That's the Spirit of the wife. Amen. That's the when you can look at that mighty angel, you say that's the wife of Christ. Amen. Amen. Because she's baptized into him. In the days of Paul, he just simply says Christ because the mighty angel hadn't come. He said, ye are Christ. You're the body of Christ. Amen. The body of Christ can't have but one mind, see. Amen. Let me get slowed down here a little bit here. But I just want to read the bit here of this in Ephesians 4 because I want to get the man Christ Jesus. Show you it's not two or three things. Amen. And I want to show you the church. It reached the place where it's called Christ, the body of Christ, the perfect man Christ Jesus. Amen. And the reading it has one mind. Let's I'll just begin reading verse 11. I know you know it by heart, but I want to read it anyway. Ephesians 4 and 11. Amen. And he gave, when he ascended on high, he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Amen. Now, he gave these gifts to men. See? He gave these according to the nature. He gave gifts unto men. Amen. Any way you look at it, it's a male person. Amen. He gave these men, meaning that the ministering office were men. But then here was the church. Amen. Male and female is called her, the body of Christ. But then we see them coming together in a marriage. Amen. Coming together in a spiritual marriage, that there is no difference what the preacher believes and what the church believes. Amen. It's all one. And when he looks, he sees the perfect man, Christ Jesus, when he looks at the ministry. And, like I said, coming through the church ages, that was God used a messenger and an angel. That angel that came down, that was the spirit of that age. The spirit of that age. The spirit of that age. Till it got all seven of them. And then here come Christ right at the end time. Praise God to bring the fullness. Now, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's what the work has been. To get the saints perfected, get their garments washed, to get the spots out. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the men, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now watch here, he's putting that body together, he's saying. But then watch that word, till. Now here's where Brother Jackson says this is, says, you know, in Ephesians 4 it says that there's till. He said, at the very end, seven men are going to come. See, now watch. You say, he was wrong. Well, I'm just saying, he was doing what God kept that hid from him, because here was another ministry coming to bulldoze everything out of the way. Amen. That there be one mind, one accord. Amen. He was a man of God, did exactly what God wanted him to do, just like Peter did. Peter went to the Gentiles one time and went back to Jerusalem in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, and the Bible says they contended with him. You went into the unclean. All the other apostles jumped on him with both feet, just stomping him. And I'm not talking literally here. I'm talking about scolding him. He said, well, I had to withstand. God told me to go do it, but he didn't go back anymore. And from there, verse 19 of that 11th chapter, it says, them concerning the Jews, they went everywhere, that's in their area, went everywhere preaching the gospel to none but the Jews only. Then can you see why Peter couldn't understand this fellow out here preaching to the Gentiles? What in the world Paul was doing? Has he lost his mind? Didn't he know that Jesus said salvation was of the Jew? He's out there telling them Gentiles that God's going to take out of them a people for his name's sake to be his wife. Amen. Well, it was right. Same thing in this hour. There's been all this. The Son of Man been revealed. Here come Brother Jackson. And here's this message come right through. Amen. Now watch this next verse here. Verse 13. This fivefold ministry said be here. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And watch what we reach. Unto a perfect man. Revelation 10:1. Mighty angel come. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Means that's the whole thing right there. See? Amen. Now what happened to the fivefold ministry at this point? The fivefold ministry and the church all just become one. Amen. I'm not up here in the high chair, up on the big high platform, saying, you little fellows, you little people out there, I'll tell you what to do. No, it's not that way. You've got the same minds I've got because the holy being baptized into the body of Christ, hearing this word. The, amen. The mighty angel is the spirit of this message. Amen. Glory to God. So, here's why he said, when this happened, we're no longer tossed to and fro. We're no longer children tossed to and fro. Then we don't believe different things. Cared about whatever wind of doctrine. That's what a lot of people, every wind of doctrine. They go, this preacher preached pretty good. You know, he had some good points. I'm not interested in the good points some preacher had. If it ain't eye to eye with this all the way down the line. And one man said, well, they speak in tongues. They got the Holy Ghost. I've never denied that. But I'm saying they're not baptized into the body of Christ with that one mind. Everybody speaking the same thing. That's the way the life is. Amen. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Okay. Let's go on with this now. Not tossed to and fro with them. By the sleight of men, that means cunning. With a cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait. In other words, they formulate and put in such package, it looks so good. It looks so good, you say, well, he used Scripture, it looked to me like it's right. If you've got the mind of Christ, there'll be a little something in there. Everybody here knows I had great respect for Brother Jackson all the way through, and bragged on him, held him up. Amen. But when he came out and said, there's seven men to come, it didn't feel right. Seven men has come, but seven men has come and gone through seven church ages. Amen. All right. The verse said, next verse here. Amen. He said, well, here's what he said the ministry will do now. They don't have to rebuke a whole lot in these things. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things which is ahead, even Christ, from whom the whole body, now we're talking about those baptized in the body, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in every measure, measure of every part, make its increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. We don't edify the church world out there. Amen. They'd like shut us up if they could. Amen. They'd like get rid of us. I want to read here in the book of Revelation. And let's go to the 10th chapter. I want to show you something. Now, we're not talking the Holy Ghost coming here. Amen. We're not talking the day of Pentecost. We're not talking 1909, but we're talking about something to happen once the thunders, once the sealed books open. We've got that the other week, so in my mind, I got it all in. I'd go back and get this book. Nobody in heaven and earth will really open the book, but the Lamb took the book and opened it, and it brought down the earth. Amen. God put His goodness upon Christ, and Christ went to the cross with the goodness of God, and He took our sins upon Him, and then He brings that goodness and gives it to us. That's the little book. Amen. So, are you as good as He is, holy as He is? Yes. Because you are Christ. Paul said, you are the body of Christ. You are Christ. But your members baptized into it and said you got the mind of Christ. Now you argue with that if you want to. I'm going to believe it. Amen. I'm going to believe that I'm as holy as He holy. Not by what I've done, but by what He's done. He gave it to me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. And if it was left up to my goodness, I'd split hell wide open. Amen. Because there's not any of us good enough. It's His goodness. Amen. Now watch this here. Something coming now. After the seals opened. That wasn't until 63 the seals opened. And in Revelation chapter 10. And I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven. Now I won't stop here on this. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's not Jesus. Jesus is the name given to the earthly body. But Jesus will come.
He became the Lord Jesus Christ. But here is that's why it's called angel of spirit. Hebrews chapter 1, 2 there. Angels are ministering spirits. Angels not a body, it's a spirit. Jesus has a body and he can eat in the body he has. Amen. But here he sends that spirit down. Amen. And the bride, the wife is baptized, she's married to him. Hallelujah. Therefore, whatever he has, you got. Whatever righteousness he's got, you got, because he gives you the little book and nobody could take it unless they had the righteousness of Christ. Now notice, he gives some sign, let you know who it is here. He said, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head. You don't know who's got a rainbow on his head? Look in Revelation chapter 4. One sitting on the throne, a rainbow about his head. Say, amen. These are signs of Christ. Rainbow upon his head. And his face was as it was the sun. The bright morning star, you know. The sun, the day star rising. And his feet as pillars of fire. You see, how many see who it is? It's Christ. It's Jesus Christ, and it's in spirit form. Amen. It's the spirit for the wife to be baptized. And when you look at the wife, you say, there's Christ. Jesus said, he that have seen me have seen the Father. Why? Because the Father possessed him. He was walking in the spirit of the Father. Paul said, you are the body of Christ. This is it. Come there and watch what he had. Amen. And he had in his hand a little book open. And it says, right foot upon the sea and left foot on the... And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he cried, seven thunders utter the voices. This is the same seven angels that sound through the church age. Them seven angels came. Seven thunders utter the voices. And he says, and John's looking all the way back, see, he's in 96 A.D. looking at this. And in the days when he had the vision, he was about right down what it was. But watch what God said. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write what they said, see. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. Now, there's one book in the Bible sealed with seven seals. And here it comes with it in there. The thunder's already sound. Amen. The book's been opened. Glory to God, it was opened and brought down to heaven. And John, look at it. He said, when I saw this first in 96 A.D., I was about to tell him what it was. But God said, wait, because had he told him, we wouldn't have... The church back there would have known there's seven ages, 2,000 years before he came. Jesus wanted them go to the grave looking for them to come. And when they get up, it's just like a snap of the finger. Amen. They go into eternity. Amen. And it's just like they just lay, like go to Abraham. Abraham, when did you get here? I got here this morning. Amen. Amen. Of course, Abraham was a different group than the saints here. It was all applied to the saints. Now, verse 5, and the angel which I saw stand upon sea and upon the lift his hand to heaven. He's get back to where we're at now. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things therein, and the earth and the things which are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Amen. Time no more. Time no longer. Now what's he saying here? Amen. In Matthew 25, he gave a seven church age time period. Parable. At the end time, it'll be over. He'll gather the wheat into the garner. He'll separate the chaff from the wheat. And what the angels say, that time of the church ages is over. Amen. Now watch what he says here. Here's what he's referring back, John. He's telling John, now this ain't going to be revealed till the seventh angel comes. He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery, not all the mysteries of the Bible, as some people say, A lot of people follow Brother Brown and said he cleared up all the mysteries of the Bible. No, he's talking about a singular mystery, which was the seven church ages. He says when he begins, the mystery of God should be finished. He has declared to the servants the prophet. Now, all that's over with. Brother Brown has come and gone. Brother Jackson has come and gone. Amen. Now here stand the angel. Amen. He came, and when Brother Jackson and this was finished, that finished up that little time period of silence in heaven under the seal. Amen. Now he gives us a brand new message. Now watch. Don't you look at me like you don't. Because I know you got the same mind I have. But watch why he gives her a book. And the book had been brought down from heaven. It restores us back to some of the very things that we've read about what Paul said would be here. Amen. Paul got us interviewed. But this will take you right into the marriage. Watch now. And the voice which I heard in the heavens spake unto me again, said, go take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. Now this book in heaven nobody was worthy to get, but down here's a people that's worthy. And I went to the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said, take it. Watch, don't just take it now. Take it and eat it. Mean digest this message. And in order to digest this message, you've got to listen to it. You've got to give yourself to it. Amen. That's why people listen to these messages all the time. When they go in the car, they get the book. Amen. It's the life of God for this age. See? Amen. Eat the little book, and it shall make thy belly bitter, because a lot of people are going to separate from you. Amen. Make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in the mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. He said, thou must prophesy again. Amen. Before many people, nation, tongue, and kings. And that's what's happening right this day. But watch this mighty angel. Who is this mighty angel? Is it the Holy Ghost? No, it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ on His wine. Just like God took part of that spirit of Adam and gave it to Eve. Eve was one time in Adam. Amen. So when you see the church in its glory today, you see the mighty angel. You see Christ. You see His wife. Now, Revelation 19 chapter, I'm going to read this. I've read it over many times, so I'm not going to read it too many. But, Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8, it said, let us be glad and rejoice. So it's all right to shout, be glad, rejoice. Don't be sad for a second. Amen. Well, if you know this, you don't need to be sad for one second. Amen. But rejoice in the Lord. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. Now, notice, it don't say the bride. It don't say a virgin. There's no wife, I say over and over. She has become one with Him. She went in the tent with Him. Like Isaac, Rebecca went in the tent with Isaac, a virgin. She come out, she was His wife. Amen. Then He said, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And that righteousness comes right from Christ. Amen. Do you love Him now? Amen. Do you see about the mighty angel coming down? When I look at you, somebody says, can I see the mighty angel? Well, John did. When I look at you, I see the mighty angel. Just as Jesus said, He'd have seen me, have seen the Father. Amen. Now, God's a spirit. And no man's seen God at any time, the Bible says. But Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Spirit, you see the Father. Nobody's ever seen that, the mighty angel of Spirit, but when you look at us, we're the mind of Christ, one mind, we're baptized into the body. That's the body. We're baptized so into that body. Amen. Eating the book with His righteousness, with His Word, with His attributes, with His fruits, with his gifts. Amen. With the ministry that he's set in the church, like under Paul's ministry. Amen. It's spread out. We all have the same mind. We see eye to eye. Somebody said, well, brother, well, it was over at another state. I was at a meeting. I preached some along these. A lady come to me and she says, Brother Ben enjoyed your message. I said, well, thank you, sister. She said, but what you said, it sounds good. It looks good, but said, there's so many people believe different things. You're saying that we're all going to get together and everyone's going to believe exactly the same thing, have the same mind. She said, that sounds good, but reality is, it's not going to happen. Well, I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about all these church groups and all that. I'm talking about the bride. She'll have the mind of Christ. She'll see eye to eye. We'll all believe the same thing. So God bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming to church, giving your attention to the Word like you have. Amen. I just praise God for you. Amen. All right. So we're going to close out here. The mighty angel. Who's that mighty angel? How can we see the mighty angel? What's that mystery of that mighty angel? Look in the mirror. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you this morning, Lord, for your goodness and mercy upon us. For the mighty power of God, the mighty working of God, for the mighty revelation of God. And Lord, I thank you that you counted us worthy to escape all things, stand before you and be clothed in fine linen. Thank you, Lord, for counting us worthy to become your wife. The whole group become your wife, becoming one with you. Amen. With the righteousness of God, Lord, that you gave us that white robe or white linen. Fine and linen, clean and white, which is your righteousness. Lord, bless us all together. We go our separate ways, Lord. May we think upon these things, and may we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.